When you ask people why they've chosen to live in Iowa, most of the time you'll hear something like this.
The people. There are so many friendly people in Iowa. When you come back, you can feel relaxed and know that you'll be welcomed.
That's a great reason to stay, but many young people in Iowa have a lot of reasons to leave. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Iowa is losing its young people. The draw of big cities and far-off places pulls many of our college graduates and young professionals away. Today, we'll talk about brain drain in Iowa and the effort to attract and retain these young professionals in urban and rural parts of the state. If you are a young professional who's chosen to stay, or if you went away and decided to come back, we would love to hear your story. Join the conversation at 866-780-9100. Now, the news. Iowa is losing its young people. We have a first-class higher education system, but much of Iowa lacks the bright lights, big city excitement that's attractive to the college graduates we produce. Even more importantly, Iowa lacks the good-paying jobs that young professionals are looking for. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe, and this is Talk of Iowa on Iowa Public Radio. Today, we're talking about brain drain and what the state can do to turn the migration of young people around. If you have chosen to stay in Iowa or decided to come back, we would love to hear your story. The number to call is 866-780-9100. You can also tweet us at IPR Talk, or you can send an email with your questions or your comments to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. With me this morning are Bill Menner, the State Director of Rural Development, and Rachel Judish, a member of the Generation Iowa Commission, former chair of the commission, and a speech pathologist who lives in Lakeview. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning, Gary. Great to be here.
Rachel, I want to start with you this morning. Can you help us understand this problem? Iowa has a number of first-class colleges and universities. We don't seem to have any trouble attracting students. What happens after graduation?
Well, Iowa is one of the highest-ranking states for student debt, and we actually have a large wage gap compared to other states in the region, and that is cost of living adjusted. And so you combine those two factors, and many students just can't afford to stay here after graduation. And again, like you said, we're an excellent importer of college students from other states. However, many of them choose to take that education that they receive from Iowa's fine schools and go back home with it.
Is it merely a question of they're looking for higher paying jobs, or is it also they don't want to stay in Iowa?
Well, Generation Iowa Commission did a survey 2 years ago already of Iowans because we had looked at a national survey that had completed earlier. And what we found is that, and it mirrored the national survey that was done out of Boston in 2003, that it's not the cool places that, you know, the hot nightlife, the exciting activities, those things all came out to be tiebreakers. Really, the key thing for those new grads was a high-paying job in their field. So, number one, the high-paying job, all other things being equal, then the hot nightlife and exciting activities and all those fun activities of living, quality of living aspects come in as tiebreakers.
How big is the problem? Can you quantify it for me?
I can. Obviously, the last full census that we had was done in 2000. So the data that we keep referencing with our Generation Iowa Commission is from 1995 to 2000. So I realize that was quite a while ago. But we were looking at about almost 19,000 Iowa residents that we lost in that time frame that were of any level of college education. So 19,000 educated individuals heading out while we're gaining almost 8,500 college students per year, but they're not residents. They don't necessarily choose to stay. You know, they don't have the residency. They don't have the roots yet. So the numbers sound good coming in, but then they head out, and we're still losing in that five-year period almost 19,000 students that we don't want to lose.
Now, this is a problem that affects the entire state, but it is much worse in rural areas. Bill, can you give us an idea of what's going on in rural areas of Iowa?
Well, I can tell you, that the average age of residents in rural communities is much older than that of the urban areas. So while it's true that Iowa as a whole is experiencing this brain drain, it's much more significantly felt in rural communities. And, you know, the issues that, you know, clearly wages and good paying jobs are an issue. Quality of life is an issue. And I think that you're seeing some rural communities that are really trying to be proactive about that. And while they acknowledge that you know, young people who grow up in a rural community and maybe go to a regent institution or a private college in Iowa may go away for a while, they're starting to target those former Iowans who may be raising young families now and are deciding that Iowa is not a bad place to raise a family, and they're reaching out to high school graduates who have moved away and kind of trying to woo them back with jobs and with quality of life, safety, issues like that.
Rachel, when you look at the statistics, is there a point at which native Iowans start to come back?
Absolutely, about age 32. Unfortunately, what we're gaining in that 32 to 44 age range is only about 2,000 to 3,000 in that same time period versus the 19,000 we lost. So you're hitting the nail on the head when we're saying we call them boomerangs. They go out, have their experiences, and bring that great experience back to Iowa. I'm a boomerang, or my husband's a boomerang, or many of the commissioners on Generation Iowa boomeranged. The trick is, when you're coming back, now you're also trying to find a job that's similar to your pay that you had when we lived in Chicago. And then you also have a spouse that you may be looking for another similar job at that same pay level. So absolutely, people want to be here. They like the hometown lifestyle. They like the Iowa values, especially when they have small children, which we see at age 32, that those demographics change. But logistically, it also becomes more difficult at that time to come back. So the telecommuting and the use of the web has really made that a lot easier for some professions, but it's still a challenge.
Well, I'm one of those boomerangs, too, and I've talked to a number of other people who also fall into that category, and a lot of us had to take pay cuts to come back to the state of Iowa, and for a lot of people, it's important enough to come back and be close to family and to have access to a good education system to take that pay cut and come back. But how big a problem is that for people, that there just aren't the kinds of jobs that they need when they're in their mid-30s?
You know, I don't have my statistics that are able to give you the numbers of basis on that. It's not something we've hit really hard yet, commission-wise, at that level, because that's where we're making one of the gains. But it is definitely an area of interest, because do we, start capitalizing on the positives that we have and where we are attracting people already and the great skills they bring back? I think it's also very dependent upon profession. We touched on already, in rural Iowa. I live in Lakeview, which is in a very rural part of western Iowa. And my husband and I are both healthcare providers, which goes right along with that average age demographic of rural western Iowa, rural Iowa tending to be a little older, too. So we actually have done pretty well coming back because we're in healthcare. But, again, it just depends on that profession, I think, too.
Bill, what are some of the communities that you've been working with doing to try to become more attractive to either those young professionals, those 20-somethings, or the boomerangs, the 30-somethings that might be looking to come back?
There are a couple things. And, I've been in this position for about 11 months now. Before that, I was the economic development person in Poweshiek County. So I had in Grinnell, you had a liberal arts college there that has 1,500 students, most of whom come from other states or other countries. You're seeing communities that are focused on economic development, and they're trying to find our niche, which, could be advanced manufacturing, could be biofuels and biotechnology and wind. And we're seeing communities start to focus on how they create those good-paying jobs that are going to create opportunities for young families, young professionals. The other thing that they're doing is they're really selling themselves. We put together, when I was still in Poweshiek County, a website that was targeted toward former residents. And, the jobs you mentioned, probably cannot, we can't compete with pay levels necessarily from an urban area like Minneapolis, St. Paul, or Chicago, or Denver. But where we can compete is in cost of living. You know, do you have to pay $2,500 a month for a two-bedroom apartment? Probably not. I suspect you can get a pretty nice house in most Iowa communities for a lot less than that. So you have to start pitching, you know, all right, you're not going to make as much unnecessarily right away, but Here's a link to the multiple listing service for homes in the community that you're looking at. You can get a really nice house for $180,000, and here's where that's going to break down into monthly payments. And you know what? You're going to wind up being ahead in the long run, and your kids are going to get a great education, and they can ride their bikes around town alone. You know, I made sure that every piece that we sent out to prospective, you know, young professionals had some picture of a kid riding his or her bike alone, because that is an unknown quantity in many urban areas.
That makes a lot of sense for the rural areas. But, Rachel, when you look at the statistics for the urban areas of Iowa, how does cost of living stack up?
That's so funny, because as we were talking about it, it is a little dichotomy between urban versus rural, and living in a rural area, it just depends on where you want to live. In that, you know, if you're choosing to do new construction or whatnot, with that cost of living component across the board, Iowa as a state, even with cost of living adjustments, we are still bottoming out in the region. You know, if you look at just general management occupations, unfortunately, we're last in the region for pay after cost of living adjustment. So while that can be true in certain places, it is kind of one of those common myths of Iowa's, our cost of living is so much less. But yet when you look at the numbers and compare it with the wages, it really doesn't work out that way, unfortunately. But I think those quality of life components of that kid riding around the bicycle, that's why we're where we're at, because, you know, the kids can go out and play and we don't have to worry about it. And there are many, you know, the young professional groups across the state. I know within our county, Sac County, we're working on a county level, because we know we don't have the population in one center to support a full YP group, but we're doing that as a county level. You're seeing a lot of Main Street streetscape projects going on, trying to focus in on that niche, like we were talking about, and have that attraction. We're a lake community, resort community, so we kind of have that natural niche. But expanding on that to bring the population with us, the county with us, and spur that economic development.
It sounds like both of you are talking about more efforts to bring people back than efforts to actually retain those young people right out of college. Bill, is that an accurate representation?
I'm not sure. I think that, you know, when you create jobs, you create opportunities. And if those opportunities fit somebody who's just graduating from college, then that's great. I think our challenge today is how do you create those jobs, or how do you retain them? You know, speaking as a former economic developer, I can tell you we spend as much time on retention as we did on recruitment, and also on entrepreneurship.
All right, we'll continue this conversation in a moment. I'm talking with Bill Menner, the State Director of Rural Development, and Rachel Judish, who's a member of the Generation Iowa Commission. We're talking about brain drain in Iowa and efforts to turn the migration around. This is Talk of Iowa on Iowa Public Radio. You're listening to Talk of Iowa on Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. With me are Bill Menner, the State Director of Rural Development, and Rachel Judish, a member of the Generation Iowa Commission, former chair of that commission, and a speech pathologist who lives in Lakeview, Iowa. We're talking about brain drain today and efforts to attract and retain young professionals to the state. And throughout the hour, we're going to hear some of the stories of some of those so-called boomerangs, the professionals who've gone away and come back to Iowa again.
My name's Adam Clore, and I came back to Iowa just about 3 weeks ago. I was in Portland, Oregon. I moved out there in 2002. I finished my degree out in Oregon at Portland State University a couple of years ago, and I've been looking for a full-time job in biotech and was having a really hard time finding anything in the Northwest. And Iowa City actually has several biotech companies, and so that was kind of the main reason job-wise to move back. And then the other reason to move back is both my wife and I's family are here. I really like the people The friends that I have here in Iowa, the closeness with family, I think just, you know, the general sense of community is something that we didn't experience out west as much as we experience here. The other thing is the school districts here just, well, I think the community here just has a lot more emphasis on education than what we saw out in Oregon. Actually, the one thing that I really missed living in the Northwest was thunderstorms. And it was really nice to come back. Actually, when we were moving back, there was a huge thunderstorm that rolled through, and I saw lightning for the first time, substantial lightning for the first time in 8 years. When we lived in Portland, Portland's kind of in a valley, and we never really saw sunrises and sunsets, so it's really nice to be able to see the sun actually set in the evening.
You're listening to Talk of Iowa on Iowa Public Radio. And if you are one of those boomerangs or one of those young professionals that Iowa is trying to keep, give us a call. You can join us at 866-780-9100. You can also tweet us at IPR Talk, or you can send us an email at talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And we have Josh on the line now from Des Moines. Hello, Josh.
Yeah.
How are you today?
Good. How about you?
Very good. So you're from a small town, and yeah. You moved away. Why did you decide to come back?
Well, I was working in Chicago and just decided the daily grind there was just getting to be too much. And I just wanted to go home. And basically with Des Moines, it was just kind of like in the middle. It's big enough but small enough where I don't have to spend an hour, you know, to get to work on a train. And then eventually I actually lived 12 blocks from where I worked. And even just walking through all the pedestrians and everything just got to a point where I was just like, you know, I'm ready to go back to, or, you know, go back to Des Moines. And, you know, I've been really happy with that decision because we found that now, since we moved back, we do a lot more, including, you know, going to plays, going to sporting events, all that kind of stuff without the hassle of the crowd, which we really enjoy. I mean, we do so much more now than what we ever did before.
Was it a challenge for you to find work that could enable you to come back?
No, thankfully my partner, when we did move back, I decided to go back to school. And I finally finished a year ago, and I started looking for work after school a year ago, and then I just decided I wanted to go into business for myself, and we opened a dog shop in the East Village.
So is your partner from Iowa, or did you bring a migrant with you?
I brought a migrant with me.
Great.
And originally we were going to move to Minnesota, and that's where his family is from, and we just decided, you know, my family's in Southwest Iowa, so we just decided, well, we'll go halfway in between.
And when you were in Chicago, were you the recipient of any of this stuff that Bill and Rachel have been talking about, any of the advertising or outreach efforts to try to bring you back to the state?
No, not really. I mean, I read the Register pretty much every day online and stuff, so, I mean, I was aware of it, but I was never, like, contacted by them. And we just kind of, I'm not quite sure why. I mean, it's just so, I mean, you don't really hear about it in Chicago, I guess.
It's like, just something you wanted to do.
Yeah, and I just decided, you know, we were just ready for a change. And, I mean, there are some drawbacks, but, I mean, the positives are, you know, much better, I think. I mean, overall, we have no plans on leaving, so.
All right. Well, Josh, thank you so much for calling.
Yeah, thank you. You have a great day.
Thanks a lot. You know, we do hear a lot of that people want to return. People have made the decision to return. Rachel, you were talking about how when people hit that age of 32, I think Josh was a little under that demographic, but a lot of us hit that age of 32, have kids, and start thinking much more about quality of life. So is, and I want both of you to answer this question, but Bill, why don't you start? Is the out-migration of these college graduates really a problem, or is the problem more that we need to do more to attract the older professionals? Bill, are you there?
I'm the father, or will be the father, this fall of two college students who have chosen to go to school in their hometown. And I hope they go away for a while and experience other things and then come back. You know, I want them to have a full experience. So Of course, they're unique. They're going to school two blocks from their home. And I think that there may be other parents who feel that way. I think that there's a richness that comes with going places and seeing other things and experiencing other cultures. At the same time, I want them to have opportunities that they can say when they get to 28 or 30 or 32, we're ready to come back. I want an opportunity in my chosen field. And I think it's incumbent on us as rural developers, as economic developers in the state, to find those opportunities and to find our niche. And I will mention that I recall, and Rachel, you probably have maybe even been part of these. I remember Governors Vilsack and Culver holding events in places like Chicago where they would invite former Iowans to come and they'd have a big reception. And it was all about, you know, here's what's going on back in your home state. We'd love it if you would come join us again.
Rachel, what do you think? Is it a problem that the young people are leaving, or is the problem that they're not coming back?
Great speech pathologist I am with word fluency there. It's almost both in a sense of, you know, I'm with Bill in that I may be expelled from the commission for this, but I love the boomerang because, again, you get that great experience and bring it back to Iowa with you. You know, the skills we gained when living in Chicago have greatly benefited our patient base coming back here. Not that we necessarily couldn't have got those in Iowa, but, you know, we were in very excellent programs out in Chicago. But yet it's also harder once somebody's gone to get them to come back. So in a perfect world, we'd be doing both. The ones that want to stay can stay, have opportunities to stay. The ones that want to go, when they want to come back, their arms, you know, we're here arms open with economic opportunity for them.
Is one of the problems with the wage gap that we don't have the more affordable, I guess you could say, from a business perspective, we don't have those affordable just out of college young professionals, but we do have the 30-somethings who, you know, have worked their way up through the system and demand a higher salary. Are we creating part of that gap because we're missing that demographic?
I think there are always going to be opportunities for recent college graduates to find a job here if they choose. And I think that as our economy continues to develop and as we create more opportunities, I think if they choose to stay, they can. I see instances all the time of young graduates who are finding opportunities in Des Moines or Iowa City or Lakeview or wherever. So I don't think we're missing out because I think that our workforce issues are such that if a person wants to work here in Iowa, they're going to find that job. I think our challenges are going to come in the next 5 to 10 to 20 years when we find our workforce numbers are really starting to challenge us as we have new boomers retiring and a real struggle to fill those jobs.
So that sounds like a recipe for a lot of opportunities.
I think that's the case. But I think that the challenge is finding those good paying jobs, and especially in rural communities that are losing population, where the populations are aging, where their educational attainment levels are lower than that of metro areas. That's the challenge. And frankly, that's what Tom Vilsack has told me and other persons in my position across the country to work on.
Rachel, we only have about 20 seconds left, but what do you think? Are we not building those opportunities because we're missing those young people?
You know, Bill kind of hit the nail on the head at the end there. One of the challenges with Iowa, like in the spring of 2008, which is the last numbers I've seen from Iowa Workforce Development, you know, only 12% of the available jobs at that time required a college degree, while 20% of Iowans have college degree. In the next generation, we're looking at 33% of the workforce having college degrees.
All right. Well, we need to say goodbye to Bill right now, the State Director of Rural Development. Thank you so much, and we'll continue this conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa on Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Today we're talking about brain drain and efforts in Iowa to attract and retain young professionals, also to attract slightly older professionals back to the state later on. If you'd like to join our conversation, please give us a call at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send us an email at talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. On Twitter just a moment ago, Nolan's MLIA said, His parents are always saying, few move to Iowa, but many move back. And let's hear from one of those who decided to move back.
My name's Amy Shriver, and I moved back to Des Moines, Iowa on July 2nd. I was working in Denver, Colorado as a pediatrician at the Child Health Clinic, which is an inpatient clinic in the Children's Hospital in Denver. My husband and I had been looking around for other jobs because the economy was bad and his job was non-satisfactory, so we found a job for him here at Drake University in Des Moines, and that made the decision a lot easier to come back to Iowa, where both of our families are from. My husband and I were looking for jobs in Denver and the surrounding areas of Colorado, but we had so much family in Iowa that we decided to also look for jobs in Iowa because that's really important to us, to be near family. As a pediatrician, there are plenty of jobs available even in this rough economy, and I was lucky enough to find a really great job for myself, and I'm very excited to get to know the people at my new job. When I found out that we were moving back to Iowa, I was most excited about the people. I think there are so many friendly people in Iowa. It's just an easy transition when you come back. You can feel relaxed and know that you'll be welcomed, and it'll be easy to make friends and to have great people to work with at your job. So I was really excited about the quality of people here in Iowa. So I love the beauty of Iowa, especially here in the Des Moines area. And I also like the feeling of Des Moines. It's a big city, but it feels like a small town. It's easy to get around. I have a bigger yard and a smaller commute, so that's definitely something that I'm happy about.
It's Talk of Iowa on Iowa Public Radio, and we have been hearing from some of those boomerangs. I'm a boomerang, and Rachel Judish, who's with us, is a member of the Generation Iowa Commission. She's also a boomerang, someone who has returned to the state. And now joining us is someone who chose to stay in the state after graduating from college, Pete Jones, one of those coveted young professionals. He's a business development executive at Catch Fire Media in Des Moines. He's also the president of the Greater Des Moines Young Professionals Connection and the creator of the blog Des Moines. DesMoinesIsNotBoring.com. Pete, what made you decide to stay in Des Moines?
Initially, family. I'm the youngest of three, and my older siblings decided to stay, and that was the initial driving force. Thought of moving after that driving force, but at the same point, at that point, I had found a home here in Des Moines and a passion for the city and really enjoyed living here. So there really was no point at that point to move.
I was reading your blog and you talk about how in high school, everybody who went to your high school talked about how Des Moines was so incredibly boring. And that's that's how the title of your blog came about. But when did you have your epiphany? When did you decide that, wait a minute, Des Moines has a lot to offer?
Well, in high school, the excitement was going to the neighborhood McDonald's parking lot and hanging out in the weekends, and of course, that's boring. The epiphany came when I joined a local community group, the Young Professionals Connection, and really realized that, you know what, there's an amazing amount of young professionals in town who are passionate about the city, and that inspired me to grow the passion and get involved as well, not just within YPC, other groups such as the Des Moines Social Club, Des Moines Music Coalition, Art Noir, to name a few. Amazing amount of people that are passionate about promoting the city and getting involved. And from that, it fed to me.
Oh, we have Danielle on the line right now from Woodward. Hello, Danielle.
Yeah, good morning.
How are
you? Welcome back.
Oh, thanks.
Welcome back.
Thank you very much. What would you like to talk about?
I am the parent of a child who fled the state after getting his expensive Iowa State degree. He left looking for IT opportunities, found them on the East Coast with Canon. I regret the brain drain. My husband and I would love to have him back, so we'd like to hear more about how this group is recruiting former residents who left with their expensive IT degrees.
Well, I will ask Rachel about that in a moment, but first, Danielle, does he regret leaving?
Well, he loves the East Coast. We do have family out there, but there are now, he's been there for 4 years, he's 26, now there are questions, well, how are my friends doing? And there seems to be longing for slower paced, wide open spaces.
All right. Well, Rachel, what are you doing with the Generation Iowa Commission to try to get in touch with people like Danielle's son?
There is a number of opportunities or attempts going on out there. We actually have a website, generationiowa.com, that's been up for a couple of, two or three years now, since it came along pretty early in the inception of Generation Iowa Commission, highlighting some of those key things that it sounds like the blog is also highlighting in the Des Moines area, but also trying to focus statewide. We've been focusing efforts on getting young people involved in their local government and community volunteer opportunities, because the research shows us if we can get our hooks into them and get them involved in their communities, they're so much more likely to stay or come back. Some of the things the state is now matching some of the dollars that AmeriCorps for volunteer service provides, and this last year in the legislative session, there have been seats delegated on all Iowa boards and commissions to require commission members under 30, again, focusing on that service and volunteer opportunities, on opportunities to connect and find those cool things to do that, you know, they are going on statewide, and creating that connection. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, just like everybody else these days, trying to put those things out there. I know in the past, we were talking earlier about Chicago, and you were asking if you'd seen one of the other callers had seen anything in Chicago that made him think of Iowa. And the Department of Economic Development has actually done some advertising in the metro area in the past, putting up big billboards saying rush hour, you know, Iowa rush hour, and it's all the kids running home to running to dad as he walks in the door, or, you know, I don't know if there was one, you know, a traffic jam in Iowa where, you know, a cow crossing the road or things like that. You know, very Iowa, but makes that kind of pulls those heartstrings and tugs at those ideas of, oh, I wish I was home and things like that.
And you also, on your website, you do have some resources that people who want to return to the state can use to look for work.
Absolutely. You know, there's the find a place to live, find a place to work, focusing on different opportunities. Internship programs and vocation job opportunities, search pages and things like that, keying into specific Iowa locations, making it easier than like the great big, you know, monster.com or things like that that are so large and harder to focus in on. And one thing that we've really keyed in on as a commission with our reports and data is, recognizing that fundamentally it's not an attraction problem so much, because we have attraction. People want to be here. Our surveys have showed that, and anecdotally we hear it all the time. It's an economic development focus of getting those jobs that people want to come back to and having them available. So,
and Danielle, you or anybody else who's interested can find all of that at generationiowa.com. Pete, I want to talk to you a little bit more, since you are one of those young professionals who has chosen to stay and you didn't take off and decide to come back a few years later. You're a part of a young professionals group. So what do you hear from those other members of the group about the reasons that they're in Des Moines?
You know, it's across the board, whether it's for family or moved here for college, loved it, stayed. I know of a couple people who moved here for college from other cities, such as Chicago and Minneapolis, who then went home after college and didn't like going back to that environment, ended up moving back to Des Moines. So it's across the board. What's amazing is the number of people who are moving back in our organization. Good number daily that I hear from people saying, you know, I moved back for the normal reasons, whether it be family or lifestyle or just because I was great.
So why isn't Des Moines boring?
I think Des Moines is not boring because, I mean, it's not the buildings, it's not the structures, it's the people that are here. The community that we have is truly amazing. I have to revert to my most recent experience within that community and that 8035 Music Festival, which was put on by volunteers. You're not going to find that in my experience in other cities. Organizations don't have the ability, or they have the ability, but not the wherewithal necessarily to work together. Oftentimes, egos get in the way. And here in Des Moines, we're all, in my experience, working to better the community, whether that be within music or within the Young Professionals Connection or within the art community. it really is an amazing environment, and I'm obviously very passionate about it.
Now, of course, your blog, Des Moines is Not Boring, gets the word out to a certain community of people, but what do you think needs to be done to get the word out to the rest of the nation, or at least to people who have gone away from Iowa and might consider coming back?
I think the interesting thing is the social media environment that I work in at Catch Fire Media. The environment within social media obviously is transparent. It doesn't go across state lines. It goes to the nation. And within that, we can tell our stories on our Facebook pages, our Twitter pages, the whole nine yards, and tell people why we enjoy it here. And that's really something that we have the benefit of doing. And I guess I also revert to the Greater Des Moines Partnership, which is where YPC is an affiliate of the partnership, and some of the things they're doing, most notably their work with the Natas, which is a local group here in town, and working with the Natas to go out to other cities, play music festivals, invite all Iowans that are in the area to the music festival or the show, and within that, help them educate us what's going on back home. So from that regard, that's something that they're doing that's pretty cool.
You're listening to Talk of Iowa. If you'd like to join our conversation, you can give us a call at 866-780-9100. If you are a boomerang, somebody who's decided to come back to the state, or if you decided to stay in the state, maybe you're the parent of somebody you'd like to stay in the state, give us a call, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send us an email at talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And we got this email with a really interesting issue. They chose to remain anonymous, but he or she says, I moved to Iowa from the East Coast in the mid-60s as a 20-something. I've lived here ever since, but I've never been fully accepted as an Iowan because I wasn't born here. My children were born and raised in Iowa, and this campaign of getting Iowa to return has never acknowledged those who have become Iowans by choice and never chosen to leave. Iowans need to become more accepting of those who weren't born here and accept and treat us like the Iowans we are. She or he wants to know if other Iowans by choice feel second class because they weren't born here. And Rachel, have you run into that a problem with attracting people who weren't in Iowa, or a lack of acceptance of those people who do come?
We haven't as a commission. I can say from personal experience, my parents are Native Iowans and whatnot, but I have seen it on a more anecdotal, personal level, being from a small rural town originally, that someone moving in, a new teacher moving in, even though they've been here 20 years now and their daughter is my best friend and whatnot, that they're still looked as the new people in town because they only moved in 20 years ago. But, on the whole, I usually hear about people being very arms open, very accepting, and because people are so excited to have you come to the state and, they want to show you what's out there and what the experience is, I guess. But we haven't ran across that a whole lot.
Well, I would be interested. Our emailer didn't mention whether they're in urban or rural Iowa, but
right.
That does sound like a problem that might be a bigger problem in small towns.
The time that it has come up has been more on multicultural issues, where they're trained to coming in from a different country, things like that, which is obviously very understandable, where it's a very different culture. But I referenced the city, in Chicago they talk about it's much more of a large city, there's all the different neighborhoods, but yet you still have your little neighborhood, so that this community lives in Little Italy, this community lives in Chinatown. So there is still some of that separation at that level, too.
Rachel, you grew up in rural Iowa, and you decided to come back to rural Iowa. What do you like about living in the rural areas?
And we did the full full 360, going from the rural, very rural area to school, Cedar Falls, Iowa City, Chicago, and coming back. And the decision to come back actually was work, job opportunities. My husband finished optometry school in Chicago, and it just so happened that our one of my hometown optometrists' dad was retiring. It was a father-son practice, and it was exactly what we were looking for. At first, I was that one that was never coming back to Iowa because it was boring. But then as you get older and wiser and start to appreciate those things of being able to go outside and not have to drive 20 minutes to go outside and run versus being able to walk out the front door, going to the golf course, going to the boat, and going out on the boat. All those things that you grew up doing and loving are such a hassle. It's that day-to-day grind we were talking about earlier. So that's what brings us back. And now we have two small children, and that ability to have the mosquitoes being the biggest thing we're concerned about outside right now with where we live is a nice thing.
Is there anything missing for you since you've lived in Chicago? You've lived in the bigger towns in Iowa as well. Do you sometimes really miss that kind of city atmosphere?
Sometimes, but we look at it as those things that we miss, we can always go back and visit and do. What we can't go and visit and do is the day-to-day lifestyle. So, you know, we do miss some of the restaurants, some of the, you know, the air show down in the Chicago, off the North Shore, some of those different things like that. But, again, we can go back and do that. I can't go back and send my kids to school on a visit or not have to commute on 90-94 where it can take 2 hours any given day, depending on traffic. So,
Pete, among the people that you went to high school with, how many of them, I know you don't have a real number, but have a lot of them stayed in the Des Moines area, or are you pretty much one of the only ones?
A lot of them are. I'm not in Des Moines.
Oh, no, I was asking Pete that question.
Oh, okay, sorry.
It's all right.
You know, of the guys I ran around with in high school, I guess I don't have a percentage, but a good number moved, a good number stayed, and the ones that stayed are still here. The one that's moved, a few have come back. I guess I don't have the data in my mind here for that, but a good number decided to come back too.
Do any of the ones that left, when you interact with them on social media or see them when they're in town, do they say, "What are you thinking? Why did you stay here?"
No, honestly, I don't get that. I think that the ones that have that opinion realize that I've got a very passionate opinion about Des Moines and don't want to get into that debate. Most notably, I was asking a friend to come back for the 8035 Music Festival because he's a big fan of Modest Mouse. He didn't have a vehicle, so he couldn't come back. He lives in Chicago. So that was his reason for not coming back, just because he didn't have a vehicle, which in Iowa, that's pretty common.
We have Margaret on the line in Moline. Hello, Margaret. Oh, I guess we don't have Margaret anymore. She was here. Okay. We have Nick on the line, who's actually calling in from Chicago. I'm a little new to this equipment, so I think, oh dear. Okay. I've got it down now. I'll know it by tomorrow. Hi, Nick.
Yes?
Hi there. What would you like to talk about?
Hi. I was born in Iowa City, raised in Dubuque, and I live in Chicago now. Just recently married, and all the folks that you had talking before about moving back to Iowa had both the couple, their family were from Iowa. My wife is from Ohio, and I'm trying to convince her to move to Iowa. And aside from the website, is there anything else, anything that the guests can offer other than when we visit to incite her to move to Iowa rather than Ohio?
Rachel?
we hit the website already. What do I want to say? What have you been looking at? There's those components of looking at the blogs and the social club. It's like keying into those different media outlets. There's all kinds of stuff for the Iowa-oriented on Facebook and Twitter. What are you looking for?
We're both teachers.
Okay.
And so finding jobs would be obviously number one, but we're also looking to hopefully settle on, you know, some acreage and do some small-scale farming also, too.
Okay. You know, and this is one of the tricks of the rural components is finding that information. We actually struggled with it, and that was, you know, 7 years ago. Once we got here, there was great, lots of real estate, lots of jobs out there. But, focusing in on if you're focusing specifically on the job component, you know, looking at some of the different finding those different school districts, and I would encourage you to look through the where to work part of the website. And if you have a certain area, I know many of the YP groups that we've been talking about, the young professional groups, have almost ambassador-like programs where they're
okay.
It's that networking. I know somebody mm-hmm. that knows somebody who's looking for this position. So if there's a certain place you're looking at wanting to get into, you know, you can checking into searching like ypiowa.com. The Young Professionals of Iowa has their site where, you know, for hooking up into different groups and things like that. And I guess just looking through the news, you know, looking at the Register's website, looking at there is a new project. There's actually a new initiative that's been going on called the Iowa Dream Project. A good friend of mine, Christian Fong, put that together, and it's lots of different video clips. It's also on Facebook. So it's either iowadreamproject.com or you can pull it up on Facebook. You'll find clips of different people, why they love Iowa or what they see needs to change or moving forward and what they want to do.
And, you know, Nick, from the perspective of an Iowan who just moved back, who had always dreamed of having that acreage, you might just spend some time on Zillow.com or the other real estate sites and look at the beautiful acreages that are actually relatively affordable in Iowa, because I know that if you're in Illinois, or I was in Michigan, you just can't find those places. So maybe you can just entice her back that way. We are almost out of time, but before we go, I want to ask each of you what you think the top priority should be as we focus on trying to make Iowa more attractive a place to young professionals. And Pete, what do you think the number one priority is?
I guess I would say education, letting people find the opportunities within town, letting them know what's going on in town and going from that route.
All right. And Rachel?
Economic development, absolutely. People want to be here. We just have to have the jobs available for them to be here, and that level of matching their education.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Rachel Judish, a member of the Generation Iowa Committee, former chair of that commission. And Pete Jones, Des Moines is Not Boring, is his blog. This is Talk of Iowa, produced by Dennis Reese, production assistance today from Lindsay Moon. We had technical assistance today from John Pemble in Des Moines. Talk of Iowa is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Charity Nebbe.
New figures show a